Welcome to the podtech.net info talk. We're here at BlogOn Conference. End of the day just wrapped up. We're with Jeremy Pepper with Pop PR Relations, Public Relations. Welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, John. How are you doing today?
So you're a speaker here. You're talking to people about what's going on, but you're a blogger who also is in PR, PR blogger. So what's happening? Tell us a little bit about your blog, but talk about what's happening out there in the audience around people's reaction to blogs.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. I'm one of the PR bloggers that actually blogs about PR. And, you know, I work with clients that are consumer electronics, consumer technology. And some of these people are some of the best PR people I know and I work with and whom can call up and talk to the LA Times, place a story like that. Or call up somebody at FHM, place a story like that for their product. So these are seasoned PR pros. And, you know, there's still that learning curve about blogs. And I talked to my kind contact and said, you know, I'm pitching bloggers. We're going to give them review units. We'll set it up through you. And do you want to go through your president? And she said, you know, no, let's just go forward. It's too hard to explain to him what blogs are. I'll just call them websites with high traffic. And we'll just move forward. And part of it, you know, the audience reaction to the conference is, I think there are a lot of people here that are here to learn, which is what a conference like this should be. That's what all conferences are. And, you know, some of the panels and some of the sessions have been a little...
You can say it.
Well, I find them a touch condescending. Like, you don't know what's going on? Well, no, they're here to learn. Shouldn't they be here to learn?
Yeah, I mean, we're in New York City because this is all about Madison Avenue. And all about basically teaching people what's going on so people can share and learn.
Right, and that's how it should be. I mean, the marketing and communities session was a great session because there was the key kernel that I walked out of there with that I can go and say to other companies, it's not anymore that you're talking to the customer, you're talking with the customer. And blogs have changed that for marketing and... Well, more so PR, because PR has always been about communications. Too many people forget that PM PR is not about press. It's
public. And blogs are public, open to everybody.
Right. And the CBS session.
The executive from CBS, yeah.
Yeah, so he was amazing because, you know, here's a senior VP, or an executive vice president from CBS, the communications department, and his one comment that I immediately typed on for one of my blogs was that, it's about treating people the same, whether you're a PR or whether you're a blogger or whether you're media. Still outreach. And if you call us up and you write on TV, we will speak to you. Well, he didn't say on TV, but I added that addendum for him.
Yeah. It's what he meant.
Well, you know, because, well, he did talk about inviting bloggers to the, you know, every major television station has that dog and pony show where they show you the new shows to the media. So if you're a blogger, you are also part of that media. But I'm guessing he probably wanted to quantify that and qualify it with if you're a television blogger. Because you don't want just any Manny Moe and Jack saying, I'm a blogger, let me in.
Well, you brought up a good point. Let's drill down on something that you said because I thought it was really, really key. You mentioned PR. The P stands for public, and most people think it's about, you know, press. But let's just take a step back and pause for a moment. I mean, blogging's growing up. There are really pro bloggers out there who are press. And so that's one element that I've noticed. But they're also out there on this public consumption. I'll give you an example. Last week I did an exclusive podcast with Yahoo. They launched their podcasting announcement. I got the exclusive podcast for that.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Drove 1 million people to my site in one day, which is great. It didn't go down. Podtech.net. But more importantly is that they did it right. They used podcasts as a way to release information that they can control. It wasn't the corporate messaging. It was an interview that I did with the executive. But they pushed it out in a controlled way to the blogosphere, where actually the linkage and the traffic was phenomenal. Because someone was talking with them. They recognized them and said, hey, you know, you don't have the Mercury News screen that PR Newswire flips through, that editors go through. Bloggers are out there scouring for stuff to talk about and report on, in essence. So, you know, so it is a public consumption, but bloggers are also reporters, right? I mean, you talk about it. I mean, don't you talk about blog in your blog?
I don't actually blog about blogs. blog about blogs about blogs.
You blog about public relations.
But about PR. And, you know,
you have an audience.
I do have an audience.
Good following.
You know, it's funny. I'm not a site meter junkie. I look at it once a week to see who's linking to me in case I need to go respond to somebody. But
why does someone read your blog?
One of the people told me that they read my blog because I keep it real.
And you're reporting, right? And I mean, you're basically reporting, an analyst-type report, but you're still producing stuffing.
I'd probably say I'm more of a commentary columnist because I did work at in my high school newspaper, my college newspaper, and, you know, reporters give no opinion. Well, that's not me.
Yeah.
I've got to give my opinion.
But people are reading that.
All right.
So in essence, people are making some judgments based upon your opinion. Over time, you're saying some credible stuff, right? So you get, hey, I like his blog, and he's saying some good stuff. I can agree with that or disagree. But for the most part, you're providing information value and editorial, some current event stuff. So in essence, you're producing.
And, you know, there is that weird fine line. And what I personally call the pro bloggers journalist, I'm going to stick my neck out on this one and say yes. Peter Rojas from Engadget? Yes. Jason Calacanis? Yes. Mark Cuban, in a way, even. Yes.
It's an op-ed. I don't consider myself a reporter, yet I get a press pass. But I'm just providing a voice microphone. Yeah, I've got all my opinions. All the people know that I give my opinions in podcasts. But people like to hear kind of inside the ropes and what's going on. But to some extent, it's syndicating out some information. But people take that and walk away with that, good or bad. But for the most part, I'm producing stuff. So if people are producing, the average person who's not producing is listening is going to give an opinion. Just like, you know, I was reminded of this the other day when I was talking to someone. When the last presidential election came in, I was going to get a glass of bottle of wine at the liquor store, and the TV was on, and the debate just ended. And I made a joke, what everyone says to the lady behind the thing. Hey, so who won the debate? Yeah, everyone wants to know who won the debate. And she looks at me, and you know, she was kind of casually following. Oh, Bush lost. Kerry won. I go, really? How did you know that? Did you watch it? No, that's what they said. So I mean, there's very much a, this is what someone said. So if you got 20 bloggers saying that something is sucks or is good, people can walk away and go, okay, I don't have time, but I know Jeremy. He's a good guy. He's cool. I have a relationship with his column, his blog. I believe him. Don't you think there's that kind of effect going on?
Yes, and I'm going to add the addendum. Unfortunately, yes. And it's also came up during the CBS session. One of the biggest problems is there's no fact-checking in blogs. Blogs can be rumor, hearsay, or even beyond that, just made up. And one of the things that I try to do with my blog, and it makes me different, I try to fact-check. I got burnt once, slightly. It was a slight burn. And there were a couple people that were upset with what I had written. And I tried to say to them, if you don't like what I write, there are comments you can post saying you're incorrect here.
There's a mechanism to get feedback.
Right. And it's instant feedback. And I try to reply to most of my comments. I have a lot of PR students that do read my blog. And I'm trying to encourage them, because they're young bloggers themselves, trying to encourage them to embrace blogging as a part of PR.
That's why I say keep the comments section on there, because for that reason. But you bring up a good point that I want to talk about. Unlike mainstream media, you have comments, so, hey, you completely lied or you were incorrect, so you get instant feedback, of which if you leave your comment section on, that's going to be seen. You then can rebut it on the comment section or correct the story. That's one point. The other point in the unwritten blogger community is a self-governance. You can call someone out and give someone a pass and say, you know, people make mistakes. But bloggers kind of self-govern. Hey, Jeremy, you're off base on this one. You're all wet. Well, you're going to say, whoa, I don't think so. And another blogger could come in and mediate. I mean, it's all self-governing. I mean, isn't that true?
That's very true. That actually happened to me, where another blogger said I was doing trackback spam. And the post got 27 comments, the moderated comments, which I personally hate moderated comments, because I think they actually they kill the conversation because it takes too long for them to show up.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But it was 27 comments, and a lot
what,
of them
what did the judge say at the end? It's I can see where you're going with this.
But I mean, you know, it came down to like, no, what I was doing was not trackback spam. Trackbacks are to further the conversation. Or so if I wanted to point to something I had written a few months back on the other person's blog, but I didn't want to update my blog, that should have been kosher, should have been cool. And a lot of people agreed with that viewpoint. And us others didn't, but, you know, that's how it goes. But I think you're right, though. I've actually never thought about it that way. The best way to govern the blogosphere is via comments. However, and this is the weird twist, corporate America hasn't gotten that yet.
Yeah, I agree. They're afraid.
They're afraid, and maybe they're old. And it sounds a little ageist. But I bet the average age of a blogger is probably
25 to 40, right?
And that's exactly where I hit. So, yeah, you know, it's more willing to embrace new technology. The FedEx furniture case, and I can't stand it. It's over. Let that meme die. Just like Dell Hell, let the meme die. It's been around too long.
People focus on the negative, and that's why I'm so focused on the positive, which is this. It's a production environment, whether people like it or not, whether you like or don't like Jason Calacanis and what he's done and stuff. It's production. What you're doing is production. But what's different is that there's some self-governing going on. And if someone makes a mistake in fact-checking and doesn't self-correct them or gets called out too many times, I mean, they got a scarlet letter on them. I mean, they become irrelevant through their own inaction. So in this model, what ends up happening is credibility.
Well, the interesting thing was, like, I wanted to and I think this happens a lot with blogs. They glom onto one side of the story. With the FedEx furniture, oh, my God, this poor kid. He's being beaten up by FedEx. And my view was, he got 300 boxes. Who the hell needs 300 boxes? Who ships that much besides a large corporation? And I interviewed both him and FedEx PR. I got both sides of the story. I don't think that's done enough. And most bloggers will say, well, why should I do that? I'm not a journalist. But I think they're, you know, just like journalists have a code of ethics, I think bloggers have a certain responsibility to their audience.
Yep, exactly.
And, you know, I interviewed both of them, and FedEx made some missteps, but I, you know, as nice as the kid is, I just don't buy that he shipped that much stuff that he needed 300 boxes. And
there's always going to be corner cases where there's like these nuances, but at the end of the day, you know, the stories that aren't covered can be covered. So the blog is just a new channel outlet that allows people to, one, publish with ease. And with that, you know, maybe blogging by yourself can be boring. But when you blog in groups, that's where the action happens because you get feedback. So if you're blogging by yourself, in your case, you blog by yourself, right?
Correct.
But you're getting feedback comments
right.
from other bloggers. So there's some trackbacks, and you get a little community developing.
Well, the funny thing is I've always said I blog for a community of one, myself.
For audience of whoever.
Well, when I was interviewed by PR Week, which is a trade publication on public relations, and in the interview I said, you know, if I were that hyper about stats, I'd go nuts. If I was that desperate to know who was reading me, I would go nuts. I had to think about what did I care about, and I had to blog on that. And yes, I can tell you exactly who I know for 100% fact reads my blog. There are other people that are in PR that are friends of mine. I know they read my blog because they'll instant message me, nice post.
Yeah.
That's verification.
Yeah, you got three readers. I'm sorry, you may have more than three friends. I just was saying that.
No,
maybe
no,
10.
Actually, five-ish.
Five friends, okay. More than me. I got four kids. I have no more friends.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have four.
I have four kids under 10, so I don't go out anymore, but except for conferences like this. No. I digress. Go ahead, continue.
But those are four friends of yours, although they don't listen. But you know, it's. I think that's one of the things that hasn't been brought up at the conference. If you're going to begin blogging, don't get caught up in the number game.
It's not a number. It's a communication game. And the other thing that I talk to people all the time in marketing and PR is that there's two approaches you can take. You can join the bloggers by blogging, having a blogging policy, or you can podcast. Obviously, I'm pro-podcasting because I got a podcast.
Or you can vlog.
You know, or vlog. Believe me, if they're there, then they don't need. I'm not having that conversation. But podcasting has emerged as a tool to communicate to bloggers because, in a way, it's the brother sister relationship. It's RSS based. It's community based. Social media. I mean, these are the things. So, you don't have to join and do what Yahoo does with Jeremy or what Microsoft does with Scoble to have a dedicated blog. You could do that. That's one approach. You can just podcast to them. People want information. I think bloggers want information. So you'd love more information to be more effective. So are you using podcasting? How do you see the podcasting
thing? I actually have a subscription to Audioblog. I don't know if you're pro or con Audioblog. I did one.
I love Eric Rice. He's a friend of mine. Good guy. I don't use Audioblog. I build my own tools.
You're more of a pro than me. For God's sake, I'm on Blogger.
But okay, that's a whole nother discussion. That's another 15 minutes.
But it's, you know what? Part of it is I've been there more than 2.5 years now. I don't want to change addresses, and I know I should. But it's too entrenched there. But you know, I did one audio blog of me playing with the microphone, going blah 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 blah, and singing. And I've done one video podcast of me talking about my dog and following him around the room as he sniffed.
Dog cam.
It was Perry the PR puppy or something like that. The PR podcasting puppy. I'm trying to do more of not necessarily podcasting. But I'm thinking I'm actually going to start doing more video podcasting.
Yeah.
Where I actually talked to a few companies. There's so much software out there for PR people. I'm going to start blogging me using it. Which, yes, on the one hand sounds really boring.
People will consume it. Nothing's boring. Nothing's boring in this market these days.
Part of it is I'm going to be testing it out and giving. I'll be reviewing the software.
Yeah, and it's good to learn too because these new tools are emerging.
I spoke with Symphony, who is here as a sponsor, and I'm going to shoot them an email to get a demo unit. I sent an email to Factiva to get a demo login. I have this something called Giftless Media, which is a great thing for Christmas guides, and I'm going to do that probably in the next week or so.
So we're kind of coming up to our limit because I'm over 15 minutes, but you're on a roll there. But final question, what's the future of PR relative to social media, RSS, user-generated content? How is all this going to change public relations and marketing communications?
The great fun meme out there, is PR is dead. PR is going to adapt. We've always adapted. We adapted to email. We adapted to phones. We've adapted to faxes. The agencies that don't embrace social media will be hurting themselves. And, you know, my whole thing about PR and blogs are not every corporation needs to blog, but you need to know what's out there. And you need to have RSS feeds on your press room so you can get so if people want to subscribe to your data, they can get it like that. The smart PR firms, and I can name who they are embracing this. And then the smart PR consultants are pushing the envelope as well.
Excellent. Well, PR is probably not dead. I think PR is, in my opinion, in a better position than advertising agencies because this is a communication tool. So adapt or die, I guess is what you're saying.
Or be a dinosaur.
Yeah, or be a dinosaur old school for those three clients that don't do it.
I want to add a little addendum. One thing that people forget is there are a lot of PR firms that are just local PR. They're not going to need to embrace social media as of yet. I think it's maybe a year. Let's make it 6 months to give myself some lead time. Because you really don't see too much localized blogs yet besides Baosphere.
Yeah.
And as the U.S. gets their own is it All My News out of Korea? Or I might be messing up the name. But as we start seeing those user-generated total social media of just L.A., besides L.A.ist or Defamer, that are more mom and pop or kid on the street, the local agencies aren't going to need to embrace it as much.
Great stuff. Jeremy Pepper, blogger, pop, public relations. What's your blog address for the folks out there?
Like I said, it's on Blogspot, so it's pop-pr.blogspot.com. Or if you go to my corporate site, poppr.com, there's a link there as well.
Great stuff. We're here at Blog On. It's quiet because everyone's up there having cocktails, so let's get up there.
Thanks so much.
Have a great day.